something important, something critical, something that will turn our situations around, something that will deliver us from the chains of Babylon, something that will kept us out of the chains of Babylon. Do it tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring forth your word to us again and cause us to understand. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. Thank God for the message brought to us by the choir, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. There we wept when we remember Zion. May God bring a remembrance of Zion to our hearts tonight in the name of Jesus. Those who carry us captivity requires of us a song. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What a question. We trust that again, as we further consider the word of God, it will give us opportunity to know that there are certain things that we dare not do at the request of the Babylonians, even though they ask prayer tonight. In the morning, whereas, am I not trapped sitting as the Lord speaking? Verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1. I want to read from the Bible there. Chapter 1, Daniel. I'm back to be with them. Right. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the sign unto Daniel, "Fear my Lord, for why should he see your faces? What like you than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me danger my head," said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of taken and not overrun by their operations and their merchandise. How can we do it such that we will not become a commodity to be sold in the market of Babylon? What can we do such that we don't become cheap materials that the Babylonians would like to use to massage their ego and project whatever they want to project through our lives? How can we do it such that we will not be caught in the web of Babylon? How can we live in the midst of the Babylonians, whereas we are minority and they are majority? And yet, we are not cowed and we are not released to be used for their whims and caprices as Christians. And chief thing that the Holy Spirit raised with us in the morning was the purpose of heart. That Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not, that was the statement, that caught our attention in the morning, and God spoke to us extensively about and on that statement, that every miracle starts from the heart. Every defeat starts from the heart. If a man is going to have deliverance, it will begin from his heart. And we notice that whereas Daniel was in the land of Babylon as a captive, but his heart was not in chains. It is something that should disturb a man's mind. Or maybe I should put it this way. It is interesting to note that a man may be walking about freely and yet his heart is in chains. And a man may be in chains and yet his heart is not. So we read about several patriarchs of old, saints of old, who are bound with chains and fetters in the prison of life, but their hearts were never bound. Paul spent several years in prison, but his heart was not in chains. So we met a man in the morning called Daniel, who was in Babylon, who was already a captive, and his captors didn't hide it from him. Yet his heart was not in captivity. He chose to know his God. He chose to stand for his God. He chose to take a risk for his God, and God rewarded him for it. And we concluded in the morning that we must dare to be different. We must choose to stand with God. Jesus said, anyone who serves me must follow me. And wherever I am, there my servant shall be also. Whatever stand I maintain on a matter, anybody who claims to be my follower and is my servant must maintain the same stand. If this is my position on marriage, and a man claims to be a follower, a Christian, a servant of me, then he must also maintain the same position I maintain over marriage. He can maintain another position and claim to be a disciple of mine, and claim to be a follower of mine, and claim to be a Christian, and claim to be rendering services unto me. No. Wherever I am, there my servant shall be also. And so we noticed that Daniel chose to be where God was. Even though he was in the minority, he never followed the multitude to do evil. Even though people will call him names, but that will not be a problem if only God will recognize him. And you know, we used to say that one with God is majority. That's part of our sayings. And I think we should understand the implications of that. So tonight, I'd like to just go a little bit forward in that verse 8 of Daniel chapter 1. I want us to see the attitude of a man who has a correct heart. The attitude of a man with a correct heart. This man who got a heart that is correct, I want you to see his attitude. The way he presented himself, the way he went by his project, which he believed in God. I have come to know that correct heart may not mean correct head. A man may have correct heart and his head may not correct. And yet, if we are not going to, if our good is not going to be evil spoken of, we must understand the correct attitude that meets for correct hearts. If we are going to be released from the chains of Babylon. And you know, in my heart, I feel the Lord should be practical with us. I desire that God should just relax among us and speak to us as it becometh the saints of God. I feel the Lord should expose to us practical Christian life that meets for people who will not be in bondage of Babylon, especially in our days where we have charisma without character. Our days where we have Christians without godly character. And so it is important, because I have found out that many times, because we lack correct character, we have found ourselves enmeshed in the quagmire of Babylon, in the mud of Babylon. Many of us are struggling, and it is not because we don't understand the scriptures. It's because we lack godly character. Here the Bible. Can I ask somebody to read verse 8 for me? King James, Old King James. I want you to just see a man with correct heart portraying correct attitude at the same time. Daniel 1:8. Who is reading for us? Old King James. Are you reading Old King James, man? Thank you, man. Yes. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not, you know, in the morning we noticed that he will not, not even at gunpoint. He will not, he's not giving and leaving any alternative for himself. I will not take an alternative. I will not take another option. There is no option B in this matter. It is either this or nothing. I will not, if it will mean that I will die, I will prefer it. I will not. Go ahead, man. That he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine, yes, which the king drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What did he do? Eh? The Bible says he did what? He requested. He did not protest. I want you to meet a man of old with godly character. Even when he was sure of what God has laid on his heart, even when he was sure of the godliness of what he wanted to do, he did not lead a protest. You know, he was a student. And they could have gathered the SUG, the Student Union Government. And then they could do a luta. And then they could start breaking louvers. And they could start beating lecturers up because they don't want what the king was doing. No, he did not lead a protest. He made a request. I wish tonight we can quietly deal with this. It's becoming very disturbing. Personally, as I move from place to place, as I listen to stories of people, as I mediate between husband and wife, as I counsel people from place to place, I am beginning to get disturbed that Christians lack character. I wish I could study David with you tonight. I wish I could study him. I wish I could present him to you for consideration and see a young man that became, as it were, a threat to a king because of godly character. It is a thing of joy. Let's travel to the book of 1 Samuel. Let's just consider some few things. With me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And I like us to just look at verse 17 and 18. We'll look at that, and then if the Lord gives us more opportunity, we'll check some other chapters that will be of help to us. Can somebody read for me King James? Sorry, if I need other translations, I will announce. But I want you to read for me King James. Yes, please. Yes. And Samuel said to the servant, oh, Saul, yes, thank you. And Saul said unto his servant, sorry. Yes, please. Provide me now a man. I'm sure those of us who came very early, you will remember we were talking about prepare. Abi, make ready. All right. So I won't talk about it. Provide me now a man who can play well. Yes. And bring him to me. Bring to me a man you have provided. A man prepared. A man made ready. So let's hear the CV, the resume of Brother David. Yes, go ahead. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. My brother, you bought this Bible yourself, so you must read it for us. Eh? Do you see this man now? The Bible is too tiny for his eyes. He still wants to think he's a small boy. He they read Bibles that with small prints. Go and buy the bigger one. You hear me? Yes, can you start again now? Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have found a son of Jesse that is cunning in playing, a mighty, valiant man, yes, A man of war. Is prudent in matters. This is the kind of Bible you should be reading now. Can you see this one? Verse 18. That's where you are. 1 Samuel 16. Yes. And said, I've seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty, valiant man, yes, a man of war, and prudent in matters, what? A comely person. And the Lord is with him. Thank you very much. Now, I want to listen to other translations. You know what brought me here is to talk, is to raise. There are several things they said about David, but I like to underscore prudent in matters. And I want us to read it in other translation. Maybe they will bring, other translation will bring the color for us. Leading Bible. Yes, brother.
Bethlehem.
One of them said he knew a young fellow in Bethlehem.
The son of man named Jesse. Who was not only a talented harp player, but was handsome,
brave,
strong,
and had good, solid judgment. He has a good sense of judgment. When he does something, you know that he must have thought through it before he does it. He does not engage his mouth first before he engages his head. He had good sense of judgment. You know, we have people who we first talk before they think. And they cause a lot of troubles. And you know, several of us could be here that what has brought us into bondage are statements you made which you never meant. And has become a trouble to your life. Some of you have gone into the village to go and share testimonies that God has not commanded you to share because you have diarrhea of the mouth. And it was from that point you started having troubles with your life. This man has a good sense of judgment. He doesn't behave anyhow. He doesn't say things anyhow. He doesn't do things anyhow. He has a good sense of judgment. Finish that scripture for us, sir.
Once more. He added. The Lord is with
you. Look. I don't see a man who does not have good character and he will keep God by his side as a friend. I can't imagine a woman who does not have godly character and God will choose to be his friend. God is never friend of vulgars. No. He has people who has character as his friends. I want us to check scriptures, translations of what we are dealing with tonight, before we go, yes, easy to read, my sister. Easy, read it for me. So, Saul, said to his servant, find a person who play music well. If it's just an ordinary player, I don't need it. He must be an expert. He must be skillful. He must be talented. You know, don't let me talk about it. Let's move on. Yes, go ahead. Bring him to me. One of the servants said, there is a man named Jesse living in Bethlehem. I saw Jesse's son. He knows how to play the harp. He is always a brave man and fights well. He is smart. Now, excuse me, what is the meaning of to be smart? What is it, man? You are the one now to be skillful, cheerful, to be alert, smart, to be agile, to be wise. When you see a person who is prudent, are you saying something? When you see somebody who is smart, we say he's prudent. We say he's wise. You don't see foolish action in him. He doesn't do things before he says, why did I do that? No. He is smart. He's not dodo. He's not a vegetable. He is smart. He knows his onions. He knows what he's doing. When he engages his mouth, he must have engaged his heart first. And, you know, I wish I could trace David a little bit. I will try and do so before we go tonight, so that we may understand why God insisted that it must be David that will sit upon the throne. Even when Saul will say no, God insisted he was not going to change his mind about David. Because, apart from the fact that he can play well, apart from the fact that he was a brave man, apart from the fact that he can fight well, and he's a handsome person, he's also prudent in matters. Very smart. When Joab arranged a woman from Tekoa to come and speak to David on the account of banishing Absalom from the palace, do you remember when David said, is the hand of Joab not in this matter? That woman said, I know my Lord is not like an angel. I know that you have wisdom. True, it was Joab that sent me. He was highly respected in Israel, not only because of his bravery, but because he has character. And we are going to trace him a little bit so that you will understand that there are troubles we have brought ourselves into unnecessarily because we are not prudent enough. You know, I keep telling myself, a child of God has no reason to be foolish because his father is not a fool. Don't be so. The person will burn you. Now you go resemble now. There is no reason for us to be foolish. No. No. Can I take more translations? So what are you reading, sir? English Standard Version. All right, sir. Can you guys go to verse 18 straight? Yes. One of the young men answered, I saw a man, he's a son of Jesse. He's a Bethlehemite, skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in what? In speech. Wait now. Prudent in what, please? In speech. Imagine in your heart a woman married to a man. And God designed it so that the man is jobless. And the woman became the breadwinner of the family. You know it happens like that. It does. And one day, she put food on the table. And as the man was washing his hand to eat, said, Now that you sabi. You know sabi work. Just to eat. Be eating, no. Foolish man. Now me go work and put food for table for you. You are not even ashamed of yourself. Now, as she said the truth, somehow, but is she wise? She's not. I have listened to stories, and I'm not talking about reading stories. People that God has brought me in contact with. A woman who said so to her husband, and God turned the table around. God turned the table around, and the husband became wealthy. The man positioned his heart to victimize the woman. The woman's business crashed. She became heavily indebted to bank. She couldn't work freely in town again. And the husband was making it. So the husband decided not to remember her good past, but to repay her because of her careless speech. And somebody will say, it's the devil that is punishing her. It's not. It's only because she's not prudent. In what? In speech. It's only a foolish man that says everything that is inside of him. Many of us, when we are angry, there is nothing we cannot say. We will release bomb that will not finish in 20 years. Because you are provoked. Things that should not be heard after your outside your family, you bring it out because you are hungry. You are not prudent in speech. And then Babylon has a space to ensnare you. Am I communicating? You know, I'm not talking about who wants to be saved. I'm talking about character. Character. And sometimes it has nothing to do with age. We have seen old men behaving like children. True of us. True. Not prudent in speech. Do I have other translations? What is this? Is that not what you read for us at that time? Eh? This is CEV. Living Bible. He read Living Bible for us at that time. This is CEV, Abby. Can I hear CEV, please? Yes. A man named Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem, has a son who can play harp. One official said, he's a brave warrior, is good looking, he can speak. How? Well. When he speaks, his speech will bring wellness and not sickness. Have you met somebody having good looks but with bowed mouth? Well dressed, but the mouth is foul because the heart is foul. This man has good looks, he's talented. You know, we have people who are talented. They can do things well, but they lack character. So, many customers run away. Not because the devil is standing at the entrance of your shop to drive customers away. It's because you lack character. I'm sure you remember the story of Joseph when he had become the prime minister in Egypt. There was famine everywhere. Only Joseph had grain to sell. And everybody is forced to come to Egypt to buy grains. You know where his brother came to buy? And he spoke harshly to them because he didn't want them to know that he was Joseph. Do you remember? Do you remember that his brothers were reluctant to return to Egypt to buy again? Except for hunger that wanted to kill them. They said, look, we can't see his face, so that man is too tough. He told us we must bring Benjamin. If we don't bring Benjamin, me and no go go, that man will kill us. Now imagine they have somewhere else to go and buy grain. Do you think they will come back to Egypt? They will never. They will never. So when you have customers and your speech is not seasoned with salt, and gracious words are not coming out of your mouth towards your customer, you are simply fasting for nothing. It's not the devil that is chasing your customers away, but what? Your bad mouth. There is nothing wrong with your husband. Your husband is a good man, except that your mouth is what? Is bad. I don't think your wife is a wicked woman, no. It's only because you don't know how to speak well that we bring wellness into the heart of that woman. That's why she has never supported you. It is not a witch from your village. It is a witch from your mouth. That is the trouble of your marriage. I have found the son of Jesse. Handsome, skillful, brave, he's a warrior, but on top of that, the fact that he's a soldier does not mean he should not know how to address people. Some of us who are police officers, we are so abrasive in our tongue that anybody who comes to your station is looked at as a criminal. You don't know how to greet because you are a police officer. Is that the reason for you not to greet people? Are you not an African? Don't we greet in Africa? But your mouth is bad. Your mouth is foul. You have a character that is not well molded. No. No. When you meet a correct Christian, part of what we know and we must see in his life is good character. He has good character. He has good manner. He's not rash in his mouth. when Eli said, "Woman, when are you going to put your wine away from you?" You know, a woman that is praying in sorrow and agony. And Eli, who's supposed to have correct understanding, spiritual understanding of the matters, was even shooting over the bar. The woman would have looked at him and said, "I thought you were a man of God. I thought you were a man of God. Is it wrong for me to be praying here? If you know what I'm going through in my family, you won't be talking to me like that." Hannah never spoke that way. She was a woman with good character. She said, "My Lord," who was he calling my Lord? A man who called her a drunkard just now. And I thought she would give it back to him so that Eli could learn his lesson for once. But no, she said, "My Lord, count not your handmaid as one of the daughters of Belial. It was out of the sorrow of my heart I am speaking to God." And all she needed was a statement for Eli. And Eli said, "May the Lord God of Israel grant thy petition which you ask of him this day." And she walked out of the chain of barrenness just like that, because she was prudent in speech. When will you ask God to heal your tongue? Your tongue is too corrosive. You engage your mouth before you engage your head. Abba. That's not Daniel. The Bible said he requested. He did not protest. It wasn't a protest. It wasn't a riot. He didn't have to cause a crisis in the university because he wanted to prove a point. No. No. He made a request. Not they requested. He went personally. He said, "This thing is not my own. It's from my heart. And I've come to plead with you, sir, that I may not defile myself." That man said, "It's not possible. You have to eat here. Because if you are not fat like others, the king will kill me. He will think I am embezzling the food. He will not know that I'm giving you the food. Now you know they eat them. You just go and ask EFCC to come and catch me here." Daniel said, "Why don't you test us for 10 days? And if at the end of 10 days you do not feel comfortable with what you see, do whatever you like with us." Oh, prudent in matters. Gracious in his speech. The Bible said, "Let your word be seasoned with grace. Seasoned with salt." When somebody says something that is very provoking, instead of speaking at that time, why don't you keep quiet and allow time? Until you are in a better frame of mind and you pray that God will give you word to speak, not to injure, but to bring wellness to your relationship. On the cross, as Jesus was dying in pains, the same set of people who said, "Let his blood be upon us and be upon our children," he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not." But this one said, "We know what we are doing." He said, "No, you don't know." Gracious words. Good character. Start from speech. If you want to know a man, listen to him. You will know what is inside of him. Everything that is in the body of a man could successfully tame. But there is one thing he cannot tame. The Bible says the tongue. The tongue betrays who we are. Our tongue testifies the kind of person we are inside. Good looks, but bad mouth. Yes, do I have more translations here that we have not read? NIV, sister, yes. 18. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He does what? He speaks well. That's what we are looking for. He speaks well. When people's nerves are frayed and David comes there, he will bring wellness. Do you remember what he did? The day he killed Goliath, do you remember? I wanted us to read it, but I'll just tell you the story because you know it already. When he cut off the head of Goliath with the sword of Goliath, as a young man, you know, for 40 days, nobody could step out to fight Goliath. Even Saul, who was the tallest man in Israel, could not step out. And this boy came out and killed Goliath just like that. When he cut the head of Goliath, you know what David did? He carried the head of Goliath and gave it to Saul. He said, my Lord, this is your medal. You did it. The sword of Goliath that he took from Goliath, he took it to the high priest. He said, my Lord, this is your medal. And he went home empty-handed. If it were to be a boy without character, you know what he will do? He will carry the sword like this with the head and pose for photograph and go and put it on Facebook so that everybody will know that he was the one that killed Goliath. Good character. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, at a point, Saul was afraid of him because of his character. Do you remember when Saul was looking for him? And David was in a cave. And Saul did not know. I wish we are reading it. Saul did not know that David was in the same cave. And he slept. And then he rose in the night. And he tiptoed to where Saul was. And he took the water bottle of Saul, his lantern, and he cut a part of the cloth of Saul. And he retreated. In the morning, Saul came out and he was going. He allowed him a good distance and he came out. You know, I was very shocked when David was going to call to Saul. He said, my father, my father. And as Saul turned and said, who art thou, my son? The Bible said, and David bowed himself to the ground. To who? To an enemy of his life who wanted him dead? He looked at Joab and said, Joab, you are a useless man. Oh. You slept. You left your guard. You did not guide your guard very well. Do you know I came in the night? Look at the lantern. Come and collect it. Oh. Come and collect the water bottle. The Bible says his heart smote him that he cut the cloth of Saul. Good character. You know, one of the things that touched me so much about David was that the man who came to announce to him that he was the one that killed Saul
What did David do to him? He asked that he should be killed. How dare you stretch forth your hand against the Lord's anointed? You are not afraid. He killed that man, and David started to weep. Now I was shocked that all his boys also joined him to weep. I sat down one day and I said, it means all through the years that Saul was chasing David around, David did not say anything untoward about Saul in the presence of those boys. Otherwise, they would never have wept. And David composed a song for Saul and compelled everybody in Israel to sing it. Good character. If you see your enemy careless, what will you do? Go finish him. Men who became great in the hand of God. Men who won medal from God. Men who walked out of their own Babylonian bondages were men with godly character. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. You know, I want God to do something for us. I want God to change us inside. We can live among thorns and we are not caught, and our flesh is not pierced by thorns. There is a way to pluck rose flower without being injured by the thorns that rose produces. Prudent in matters. He speaks well. He behaves well. Some of you, I will charge you to go home as a woman and apologize to your husband and say, I'm sorry, I know I'm not a woman of good character. I have decided to turn a new leaf from today. Some of us who are husbands, I'll be charging you tonight to go home and look at your wife straight in the eye and say, I'm sorry, my dear, I have not behaved well towards you. I speak to you as if you are not my wife. As if you are a slave in this house. I have never treated you with honor and dignity that you deserve. I am sorry. I have decided to turn a new leaf from today and see how that man, that woman will give you her best in life. You are married for how many years? And now you can't send love text messages to your wife. You can't speak something nice to her that will make her to desire you more and more and feel great that is your wife. You left her dry. Dry of love. Dry of care. Dry of gracious words that will make her to aim to add beauty to her beauty. Each time you speak to her, you speak harshly. I'm not saying she's the best woman around. I'm not saying she doesn't have fault. But if you had salt from your mouth to her fault, then you are likely going to bring something very good out of her life. But when you add insult to such fault, then you have flaws all through in the marriage. Some of us who are children, I wish we go to your parent tonight and say, Dad, I'm sorry. Mom, I'm sorry. I have never been a child of good character. I met God in the meeting tonight I have decided to turn a new leaf. Some of us who are members of this church, you may need to meet your leader and say, I'm sorry, sir, man of God. I've not been a woman of good character. I've not been a man of good character. My words have not encouraged you. My actions have not encouraged you. I have discouraged you all this while. I have not enhanced your ministry. I am sorry. I promise God, today in your presence, I will turn a new leaf. I will become a helper of your joy, an encouragement unto you. I will be a son or a daughter of consolation unto you. I want to see God do that in our lives. And let us see whether this church will not move forward. Let us see whether our businesses will not boom. Let us see whether our marriages will not experience peace all around. And you'll be happy for it. Would you like to pray? And repent of your ungodly character, your bad manners, your careless speeches, your speech that brings sickness, pains, and sorrow to the hearts of people. But David, whenever he speaks, the Bible says he speaks well. His speech brings wellness, healing unto people that listen to him. Are you praying now? Am I hearing you praying at all? Are you telling the Lord to forgive you of your past misbehavior, and that from today you are turning a new leaf? You have carelessly exposed your secrets in the village, and that's how you walk into bondage. Will you ask God, I am sorry. I thought I was sharing testimony. I didn't know I was a careless person. I didn't know there is no wellness in what I was saying. I thought I was sharing the goodness of the Lord. That was what Hezekiah did. And he lost everything he showed to these Babylonians. Careless testimony, unguarded testimony, brings peril. Lord, I am sorry. I'm sorry for not portraying good character. I may have charisma. I may have good looks. I may have academic background, but it has nothing to do with good character. I'm sorry about my past misbehaviors. Please forgive me tonight. I turn a new leaf. I will be a better husband to my wife, a better father to my children, a better child to my parents, a better follower to my leaders, in the name of Jesus. Bring this prayer point to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You are going to pray now and say, Lord, every bondage I put myself because of my mouth, let the chains be broken tonight. Can you call upon the Lord right now? Every bondage you put yourself as a result of your mouth, because of my careless statements, every bondage I put myself into, every chain I put myself into, because of my careless speeches, tonight I ask those chains to be broken. In the name of Jesus. The chains must be broken tonight. Were you the one that said about yourself that you will not make it? And up till now you are not making it. A chain you brought into yourself, and you brought yourself into by what you said. Are there confessions you made concerning your business that were negative, now having negative impact on your business? Would you like to break those chains right now? In the name of Jesus, break them. You are coming out of them tonight. Who could do it except Jehovah himself? Who could set us free except Jehovah? Nothing is wrong with your business. It is your mouth. Nothing is wrong with your wife. It is your mouth. Nothing is wrong with your husband. It is your mouth. Nothing is wrong with your children. It is your mouth. With the same mouth, reverse it. Reverse it with the same mouth. Declare it with the same mouth. And I'm too sure that God of heaven will hear you. Will hear you from a holy habitation. And grant your speech again. Reverse it. Those things you have spoken against your future, reverse it. Those things you have spoken against your health, reverse it with your mouth. David was prudent in matters. We will start to bring this prayer point to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Tonight I declare every statement that we might have uttered against our lives at one point or the other. Whatever our lives is now is a product of what we have said yesterday. Lord, tonight, the Bible says, who speaks and will come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. Anything God never commanded that we spoke into existence that is affecting us negatively now, today I reverse it in the name of Jesus. I decree words that we have used against our wives, against our husband, against our children, against our business, against our finances, against our ministries, that are counting, walking, and militating against us today. Tonight, because it is time for the chains of Babylon to be broken. Tonight, such chains are broken in the name of Jesus. I set your life free now. I set your business free. I set your marriage free. I set your finance free. I set your body free. In the name of Jesus. Things you have lost as a result of your ungodly behaviors in the past, I ask God to restore them tonight in the name of Jesus. Before the end of this meeting, you will have testimony. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.